Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
I think he's an excellent coach, and things I've always looked for, whether you're competing against another coach as a coordinator, as a head coach, the consistency, he definitely has been consistent in the play style that he demands from his football team, both in Tennessee and New England. You know, it starts in the run game. You know, we all want to run the ball good. We all want to stop the run, and he's done that in both places. So I think the way, the identity and how the team's built, the personnel is definitely reflecting that. So, the personnel department and coaching staff are clearly on the same page. But I think he's definitely playing to the climate of the Northeast, and I think all those things are important. You look at Drake May, he is built for New England football. It's, something we always talked about a lot, and it's something I truly believe in. When you have Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, long arms, big hands, you want your guy to be spinning it better than the other guy come December and January in those big games.
This is the Christian Arcan Show on WEEI.
As we move into the 7 o'clock hour here, it's the Christian Arcan Show, WEEI. It's nice to have you with us here tonight. We are Boston Sports Original. We're live in our Brighton studio, powered by Verizon. And along with Boston, we're coming to you live up in Portland and Saco, Upper Valley, Keene, Brattleboro, Springfield, Worcester, Providence, Cape Cod, and the Islands. And don't forget, you can stream WEEI anytime on the Odyssey app if you don't happen to be in any of those places. You can also find us in the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps as well. John Lyons sticking around for a little bit longer. That was Mike McCarthy, who you just heard there on the Pat McAfee Show. Second most famous guest that McAfee had this week, I think. And talking about Vrabel, what a great coach he is, the great consistency that he's coaching with, and how he's playing to the climate of the Northeast, both the physical climate, building the team from the trenches on out, and also the climate of the media, and I think the fan base, and sort of everything else. Vrabel does seem to have a very, very good understanding of that. He grasps it. He really seems to have a good understanding of everything at this point. Like, he's walked into this job with more confidence and self-assuredness, which has all paid off so far through these first 10 games, by the way, than Bill certainly had in his first year, than Carroll had, than Mayo obviously had. Parcells is a name that pops up as maybe, okay, like that's someone you can compare it to, but that's going back a ways, and that's, some pretty big names in between there.
Yeah, more confidence than Dick McPherson, right?
When maybe a little bit.
So, look,
more than Rod Rust.
I think this is where Vrabel benefited from playing here, in that he's, and look, I know he's not part of the Belichick tree or whatever, but playing here, winning championships here, that gives him some cachet coming back among the fan base, among the organization, because look, a lot of people are gone. But Robert and Jonathan Kraft are still here from those years, and they remember Mike. So it gives him cachet. And even if, as I said earlier, the biggest reason he came back here is because Drake May and the quarterback is good, still he has that built-in cachet. And if you're Mike Vrabel, if you gave him truth serum, he probably looks at Tennessee and says, if they didn't take A.J. Brown away from me and I had a decent quarterback, I'd still be there and we'd be really good. Because you look at it from 2018 to 2021, Like 2019, they knock off Brady and Belichick to get to the AFC Championship game. 2020, they're what, the one seed in the AFC? 2021, they went 6-3 without Derrick Henry. Mm-hmm. That year, those 4 years total, they were sixth in the NFL in dropback EPA with Marcus Mariota and Ryan Tannehill as their quarterbacks. Yeah. Like, if you gave Vrabel truth serum, he probably looks at it that way. So now he looks at it and says, hey, I'm going to New England. They got money to spend. They already have the quarterback. I'll have McDaniels with me. Like, I'm good. I'll have Stretch and Ryan Cowden coming with me. We're good. So I think, to me, honestly, I think that's where the confidence comes from.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. The Patriots inactives have been out here for about 20 minutes. Here is what they are. We know most of these. Kayshon Boutte out. Ramondre Stevenson also out. Christian Ellis out. Caden Wallace hasn't played a game this year, I don't think. Austin Hooper is out with a concussion. Joshua Farmer is out. Tommy DeVito is your emergency third quarterback. No Terrell Jennings on the list. I guess he's active tonight. That's good. Good news for the running back depth there, to be sure. Whether he's at full strength or not, I guess we'll find out. But it seems like even if he is, it's going to be a big, heavy Travion Henderson night tonight. Anything stand out to you, jump out to you here?
I mean, most of these guys, like, we knew about Hooper, Boutte, and Stevenson in advance. So right. None of the – I mean, I think if you ask me what's the biggest loss of that group, it might actually be in this game, Austin Hooper, right?
Because I thought you were going to say Ellis. Yeah.
You said earlier it could be a big tight end game. I would agree with you. I mean, Hunter Henry's still there.
Yeah.
Like, last week, I think you saw the loss of Ramondre Stevenson more last week than you will this week because – they didn't pass protect well enough from the running back position. That is something. Even when Stevenson was fumbling, remember they would bring him on the field just to block in some of those situations? Like, that I think was more of a Tampa Bay game thing than this. And if you continue to see him out, it'll hurt you in the future as well. But I think tonight specifically, I think it's more Austin Hooper than those other guys. Maybe Kayshon Boutte too, you know, but I think, like you said earlier, they'll be able to adapt with some of those deep shots without him.
Yeah. Looking at the Jets, I don't see their inactives yet. Let me see. Oh, here they are. Okay, yes. Inactives for the Jets. A.D. Mitchell is going to make his debut. He came over in the Sauce Gardner trade.
He can run fast, by the
way. He is fast, and he's been awful for the Colts, but definitely a kid with some talent, a kid that I wouldn't have minded if the Patriots had taken a look at. I really like both of those Texas wide receivers. Yes, Joe?
He's also the guy that, if you remember a couple weeks ago for the Colts, dropped the ball at the one-yard line.
Yes, he did.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's probably why he got traded.
I would say that maybe had something to do with it. Also, Khalil Herbert, the running back, is out. Azarie Thomas, I probably said that wrong, is out. Cornerback Jamarcus Weston out. Braden McGregor and Jelani Woods, not a lot of names that I even recognize right there. So
yeah, I think that's the state of the Jets.
That's the Jets. That's what's going on with the Jets. Real quick, I want to talk about Justin Fields here for just a minute, because while it's easy to sort of look at this team and say Justin Fields sucks, and he does kind of suck, he's had some decent games this year. It's not like every single game has been a total bleep show for him. He was pretty good in that Bengals game. He went 21 for 32, 244 yards with a touchdown, and rushed for 31 yards. Not a lot, but you know that's a good passing game right there. It's a 9,900 passer rating. Against the Cowboys, they lost that game. He was 32 for 46, 283 yards, two touchdowns, no picks. A loss against the Dolphins, 20 of 27, 226 yards, touchdown, no interceptions. He's only thrown one interception. It was last week against Cleveland, which is kind of wild to think about. And he does get sacked a good amount, and he loses a lot of yards on those sacks. But he's not getting sacked as much as Drake May. Now, those are some examples of decent games that he's had. When he's bad,
it's not good.
I mean, it's like peewee football numbers. Like against the Carolina Panthers, he was 6 of 12 passing for 46 yards. Against Denver, 9 of 17, 45 yards. Against Buffalo, 3 of 11, 27 yards. Like those aren't like NFL. That's a you don't belong in the league type of numbers. But they're interspersed with these games where he looks competent. Which Justin Fields do you think we'll see?
Well, I think when you look at this, the two times he's played a great defense, Denver and Cleveland, he had those bad games.
Yeah.
And I think so that way, like I look at tonight, Patriots aren't as good as Denver on defense or not as good as Cleveland. But they're good on defense, and I think they're better than, well, Pittsburgh's okay.
Pittsburgh's a good defense.
And Buffalo is inconsistent defensively, but Patriots are in that neighborhood. They're better than Miami. They're better than Dallas, better than Carolina, better than Cincinnati. So I think you'll see maybe not as bad as he was against Cleveland, but I think a game in that neighborhood.
Why are the Patriots so good at stopping the run and so bad at getting to the quarterback? And maybe bad's exaggeration. They're mediocre, I guess, at rushing the quarterback.
So I think a lot of it has to do with Robert Spillane, and then I think he's awesome against the run. You see him fill gaps against the run. It feels like ever since he forced that fumble on Sunday Night Football against Buffalo, he's been a different guy because he was pretty up and down before that. There were a lot of missed tackles as well. Since then, he's been arguably their best defensive player, and I think him against the run has been huge. I think it's funny.
Williams and Barmore in the middle there. I mean, they've been good.
Yeah, and they've gotten quarterback pressure from Milton Williams. They haven't got any, really, from Christian Barmore, which is kind of bizarre, or very little. And their edge guys, they're good against – they haven't been good. Like, Harold Landry has, what, 5.5 sacks or whatever?
All in the beginning of the year.
Yeah, like, they haven't been good enough rushing the passer off the edge either. I mean, they haven't gotten smoked off the edge in the run game, so maybe that's what it is. But it's interesting that they've done – and they've also had some of these games where – Tennessee, New Orleans, they've gotten out to leads right away. Their opponents feel like they have to throw more and just haven't run it as much early on. That might be part of it.
Yeah, certainly could be. We have also been hearing a lot of talk today on First Take. I heard them talking about it. I've heard some people discussing it here on the station. I was on top of this like in week six. I was way too early to the party, but I was the first one there.
And
that is
wrong,
the question of who gets more credit for where this team is right now, Drake May or Mike Vrabel?
Oh, I already hate these conversations. This is Brady versus Bill 2.0.
It sure is.
Yeah, get ready for the next 20 years of your career, Arcad.
Listen, I stopped on it 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, look, it's funny because I think it's May and it's his development. Like, that's the biggest
bold
reason.
Bold to say that my career is going for another 20 years, by the way. That's a big assumption you're making, but I appreciate
it. I'm trying to be polite as I'm on your show. Look, I think but it's a catch 22 because I do think the biggest reason they're better this year is because Drake May has taken a jump forward.
Right.
But I also think the biggest reasons he's taken a jump forward, one of them's Josh McDaniels, the other's Mike Vrabel. And Drake May's own work, he deserves credit for that, his natural talent. But there's three reasons why May is better, and two of them are coaches. Like, and even look, Kayshawn Booty's a lot better. How much of that is a product of Drake May's better and the offensive line's better?
Yeah.
And like, yeah, Kayshawn
and McDaniel's just scheming up a better offense for the receivers.
And
too.
I give Kayshawn Booty a ton of credit. He's a guy in the spring that I was like, man, I don't know if he's going to make this team. And now he's one of their better players. So I'm not taking it away from him, but the biggest reason they're better is the quarterback. So yes, I give Drake May the most credit. But that being said, like, it's not like it's year 10 Drake May. It's year 2 Drake May. Vrabel and McDaniels have a ton to do with that.
Yeah, and I love the culture that Vrabel's created. I think it's really, it's a real thing. You know, like, there's a lot of coaches who try and come in and establish a culture, and it either is inauthentic or...
He's a tone setter.
They lose, no one cares, and, you know, the guys are hard. This happens with a lot of ex-Belichick guys, right? Every time a Belichick assistant goes somewhere, he tries to be like Bill, or they have this big ego, and the team sucks, and they get fired, and everyone celebrates when they get fired. It's like, you know, that happened with, like, three guys in a row there. You know, the only one that hasn't really happened was Billy O'Brien.
And Flores, he got kind of screwed.
Flores did back get
to back.
Screwed.
But I think, interesting, and not to go down the rabbit hole, but the two guys off the Belichick tree that have had the most success, Bill O'Brien and Brian Flores, have acted more like themselves than Belichick in their
coaching
stints.
Great point. You're right
about that.
Whereas
the other guys tried to copycat Bill. Those two, like, Bill O'Brien is his own dude, as we know.
Yeah.
And Brian Flores was his own guy in Miami. A little rough around the edges. Said Tua sucked, by the way. He was right.
Mm-hmm.
But they've acted more like themselves than the other guys, and they had the most success. I don't think that's a coincidence.
Yeah, no, I don't either. I agree with you there. That's legit. The Patriots taking on the Jets tonight at Gillette Stadium, an 8:15 kickoff, as the Patriots look to win their eighth straight game. That's another thing, this win streak. I mean, I love a good win streak. Who doesn't love a good win streak? But as the games keep going and they just keep they keep piling up, do you ever get the sense of, like, man, they need to get a loss out of the way here before things get serious? Are you one of those people?
Yeah, you take out the last seven wins, they're 1-2, Arcand.
You know? True.
You know, but look,
you know what I mean, though? Like, if they go into the play and they haven't lost the game, isn't that terrifying?
A little. Like, I mentioned the 2010 team earlier, where they win, like, 12 games in a row and then made the playoffs and lost right away. Like,
and isn't it great to have these conversations again?
Oh, it's so much better.
It's so much better. Oh, my God.
Like, honestly, so last year.
The loss that they need to break up the
last year in November, KJ and I were doing night shows, and we were talking about the draft. Mm. Like, seriously, in November. Yeah. So now we're talking about, hey, can they have their ninth win by tomorrow morning? Like, that's where, like, I predicted 9 wins before the season. They might have 9 wins by midnight. Like, it's pretty crazy. But, yeah, look, is it, like, I want them to keep winning, Arcan, but we talked earlier, like, is there going to be a game that Drake may, and he's a young player, as great as he is, MVP candidate, and let's be fair to him. He's a young guy. He's going to have a game where he throws 3 picks.
Right.
Like, there's going to be a game where somebody else makes a big mistake. There's going to be a game where Craig Woodson, who's been pretty good for them at safety, blows the coverage. I'd rather that be in early December against the Giants or against the Ravens, or than have it be in mid-January when you're in the playoffs. Like,
yeah.
I just feel like those guys are, you're relying on a lot of young guys. It's going to happen, and it doesn't mean they suck. It doesn't mean the wheels fall off, but just, again, you're relying on a lot of young guys. They're going to have a bad game. Will Campbell's going to have a game where he gets beat 3 times for sacks. I'd much rather that be against Baltimore than have it be, you know, in the playoffs.
Yeah, kind of was against Cleveland, wasn't it?
Yeah, that, well, that didn't help. Yeah,
didn't help for sure. And you know, I'd say Drake May. Did he lose two fumbles or did he recover one of them in the Falcons game? I know he fumbled twice.
He lost one and recovered the other.
Yeah, and he did have an interception in that game. So I guess it wasn't like three picks, but he's had those kind of like, oh,
like
God,
I look at like the Tennessee game last year, where he lost a fumble and threw two picks, one of them to end it. Mm. Like, he had multiple of those last year. He hasn't had any so far. Like this year, I thought the Raiders game he was bad. The Pittsburgh game he wasn't good.
Right.
Other than that, he's been fantastic. I just worry, like, again, it's just a young player. Is he going to have one of those games before the season ends? That's all.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll be tonight. I don't think it'll be next week. Just at some point.
It's a fair question. 617-779-7937 is your phone number here. It's the Christian Hurricane Show. Also, de facto, unofficial Patriots pregame. Cole is in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Cole.
Hey, man.
What's up, Cole?
So you guys were comparing who... What's up?
I said, what's up, Cole?
Oh, I was just saying, you guys were talking about who's more to thank for the team, Drake May or Mike Vrabel. And a good hypothetical of this is, if you thought Ben Johnson was the coach of the Patriots, would we be in the same predicament?
Good question. You want to take that
one? Yeah, my answer is no. And I think they'd be pretty good. Don't get me wrong. But I think Vrabel comes in as a defensive coach. Like, they're one of the underrated storylines last year, as bad as Mayo, Brissett, all that, their defense was bad. And it took a Bill Belichick's last year. They had a top seven defense. That was a big regress last year.
Ben Johnson wouldn't have spent all the free agent money on defense.
And I, like, would you have Milton Williams if Ben Johnson was here? Would you have Carlton Davis? And would Drake maybe better? Yes. But I think the combo of Vrabel and McDaniels, you're getting just as much offensively if just Ben Johnson was the head coach.
If it was Johnson with all the same moves that they made, I think they'd still be in pretty good shape because the schedule's so bad. I mean, it's such a soft schedule.
Like, would Ben Johnson have won that game in Tampa Bay last? Like, would he have done that first and goal thing Vrabel did? Would he have won that? Like, I don't know.
He might have gotten in the end zone before that.
That's true. No. But, like, I don't know if Ben Johnson wins that game on the road. Maybe, like, one of those two games on the road, Tampa or Buffalo, I think with Ben Johnson, they would have lost.
Okay, fair
enough. Maybe the Saints game. The Falcons game. They'd be 6-4 instead of 8-2.
But that's a big difference when it comes to things like MVP and Coach of the Year and all that other stuff.
Still a huge jump from last year.
Definitely. Not quite in those same conversations. Meanwhile, the Chicago Bears are 6-3. It's not like you're talking about some crap team here and Ben Johnson's having a bad time. He's there with
a tougher division.
Young quarterback, tough division, and they're succeeding. They have a better record than the Packers. They're right there with the Lions. Like, they're hanging around. Yeah. Tim is in Hanover. Hello, Tim.
Christian, hey, yes. I love hearing John with you. Both you guys are awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
John, you're dead right. I'm stuck in this traffic right now waiting to get into that stadium, man. But I'll tell you what, John, you're dead right about they're going to be watching the long ball. And I just hope May don't run a lot tonight. Just run when you have to pick up a first down and be safe, man. That's all I want to say, bro. You guys have a good night.
Tim, have fun in there.
Call anytime and tell me I'm right, Tim.
So absolutely.
That was terrific. Thank you.
I just thought of this when he said, I don't want Drake May running a lot. The Jets, when they played the Jets last year, that Sherwood guy.
The same thing.
He hits, man. Like,
that's when May left the game. Brissett had to come in and win that game.
Yeah. And Sherwood, I mean, he's that kid can hit. He lays the wood.
John, you're dead right.
He just saw the same thing with Smith there, who's been excellent for them in Tampa Bay, coming over, laying a big hit on Drake May on the sidelines, one that you could tell affected him. And then he comes over and makes that interception a couple of plays later. I don't think Sherwood's that kind of guy, but he is that kind of hitter. If May's out there running around, you know, at 44, I think his number is, 44 is going to be looking to punish him. Yeah.
And don't forget the Titans game this year. Drake May had to leave for a couple plays.
Right.
And Josh Dobbs came in, converted a great third down for sure. I get it, but I would rather, on a short week after a physical Tampa game, rather him not run that much.
617-779-7937 is the phone number. John Lyons, great talking with you, buddy. Good luck in the traffic on the way home. If you want to call back in while you're stuck in traffic, we can keep talking.
John
it's
in
up
the
to
car.
You. John in the car,
I think
sure.
That's already a caller, actually.
There's a few John in the cars, but I'll know it's you. Anyway, Lyons, awesome stuff. Thanks so much. Here's Joe Braverman. He's going to get you caught up on what's trending, and we continue with Patriots-Jets preview and some thoughts on how these two teams got to where they are right now. I also have some gambling predictions I'd like to share with you all, some numbers, some odds that I like, some juicy juicy props and things of that nature. First, here's Joe.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry-yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
One day only, Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still-trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change while supplies last.
Well, years ago, we talked to Tom Moore, then at Indianapolis, the offensive coordinator. You got a busted play. Well, years ago, we talked to Tom Moore, then at Indianapolis. A play here, and then Sanchez gets hit. The ball is loose, and it's alive.
I have never seen this before in my life. Watch this. Vince Wilfork is going to throw Brandon Moore back into his quarterback. He's going to fumble the football. This is what Reggie White used to do to people, forklift them and just lift them off the ground. Mark Sanchez not expecting it, and it was the backside of Brandon Moore that knocked the ball out.
Ah, the butt fumble.
What a glorious night that was. It's the Christian Arcan Show here, WEEI. Thanks again to John Lyons for hanging out with me for the first hour plus here. We go in alone for the rest of the night. We'll do Patriots up until 8 o'clock. Then we're just going to dink around for the last 2 hours, really. I mean, it's, you know, be naming states. All sorts of stuff. It's going to be fun. Anyway, the butt fumble, which was somehow for the Jets like a low point for them. If you think about all the different low points for the New York Jets over the last, you know, 25 years, 30 years, that might be rock bottom, right? I think the butt fumble may have been rock bottom.
I think that whole night for them, because remember, like, I don't know if it was the next kickoff, but they had that fumbled kickoff and it just popped into Edelman's hand.
Right,
that they
that's right. Yeah,
that
yeah.
whole Thanksgiving night, which was 2012, that whole night felt like rock bottom.
Trivia, who recovered the butt fumble?
Steve Gregory.
Steve Gregory, good. Good memory. A lot of people forget about the immortal Steve Gregory. But how can you forget about a guy who was so instrumental in one of the greatest plays in NFL history, which is what the butt fumble was? It was Thanksgiving. I was watching the game at my cousin's house. My cousin was a big Jets fan. And the Patriots won 49-19. And Sanchez was thrown into his own man's ass. And the ball popped out. Popped out of his hand, not out of the guy's ass. And Gregory took it back, and that was that. The Patriots scored 35 points in the second quarter of that game. Is that a record? Like, that might be a record for one quarter. For the Patriots, maybe, I think. I don't know. This is definitely the most points I've ever seen scored in one quarter. And I bring that up because last night I spent a lot of time on the Jets in the last three seasons, really. Four seasons, I guess, if you want to count the that rookie year of Sauce Gardner and Garrett Wilson. And also Breece Hall. Those guys were all drafted in 2022. And now, you know, you've seen Gardner have a great rookie year. You've seen Garrett Wilson develop into a, you know, very good NFL wide receiver. Breece Hall is considered an upper echelon running back. He's not one of the greats, but he's, you know, he's not one of the, you'd have him in the top half if you were splitting him down the middle. Rich Cimini, who I was talking about last night, and who Aaron Glenn has just had enough of. Talk to Rich. Dr. Rich. Don't ask me, ask Rich. Rich Cimini had this morning. It's almost like he was listening to the show last night. And he writes, there's so much optimism in the Jets locker room that wintry afternoon in New England, the final game of 2023. With one win, they vanquished an old bully and celebrated their future. The Jets stumbled to a 7-10 season after Aaron Rodgers and the season-ending injury in week one, but ended a 15-game losing streak to the Patriots in Belichick's last game as coach. That game, by the way, is the last Patriots game I attended in person. There was nobody there. I went because I thought, you know, this could be it. This could be Bill's last game. Like, they might fire him at the end of the season. And a lot of people thought I was crazy for even suggesting that on the radio, which I had been doing for a while. I mean, it's just how many more of these seasons can you expect? How many more screw-ups and F-ups are you going to see before they do something about this and move on to the next phase of Patriots football? Even with that, it was still surprising that he got fired. Still, it was like, oh, my God, he got fired. Wow, it really happened. But I went to that game because I thought, hey, this could be it. And there was no one there. It was an awful game. And after it was over, there was no acknowledgement of Bill Belichick at all. I mean, it was not, they, not that I didn't think they were going to fire him, but like, they didn't act like they were ready to close the book on Bill Belichick. It's not like it was, hey, coach, thanks for everything. You know, like, none of that. And even though he hadn't said anything and he wasn't planning on retiring, if that was something that the Crafts were planning on doing, I would have thought maybe they'd have a little something here. Nothing. Nothing. And that win by the Jets snapped a 15-game win streak for the Patriots. The Patriots had beat them 15 straight games. And then the Jets finally break that streak on Belichick's last day as the head coach of the Patriots in his last game. And there was some symbolism there, right? Now the Patriots are officially dead. Brady's long gone. Belichick's gone. The team sucks. The quarterback's been ruined. Bailey Zappi sucks. Everybody sucks. Like, it's just a big suck bag team. And now here come the Jets with their offensive rookie of the year, their defensive rookie of the year. Both of them had pretty good follow-up seasons. Aaron Rodgers was the quarterback. He got hurt, and that's the reason why they went 7-10. It's a big part of the reason why they went 7-10. But 2024, that was supposed to be it. Okay, well, now we got Rodgers back, and we got our guys, and we got some more additions that we've made, and Breece Hall's getting better, and here it comes. And no. Rodgers did come back from the torn Achilles, but we all saw what they did last year. The Jets, since that game, are 7-19. They've replaced their coach, their GM, and their quarterback. Sauce Gardner is gone. Wilson is on IR. Breece Hall almost got traded at the deadline. Like, he was a big trade. People were talking about all sorts of trade rumors with him. Jets did hang on to him. You look at that, and you look at how quickly that all unraveled. And some might say it was a combination of the Jets being the Jets, and also Aaron Rodgers being Aaron Rodgers, you know? Like, it's not, you can't plan for a guy to tear his Achilles like that, but also you're talking about a pretty old quarterback that you're trotting on out there and hoping for the best. And when you're dealing with guys that age, you know, the injuries happen.
When I came out of the darkness, something changed.
Something certainly changed, yes. Aaron Rodgers. Lousy season he's having there in Pittsburgh, too. And he started getting better towards the end of the year last year, but they just couldn't win games. The Jets just couldn't win games. The Patriots, on the other hand, since that game, had another awful season where they went 4-13 with Gerard Mayo and Van Pelt and Drake May in his rookie year with Jacoby Brissett, and Mayo not having any kind of Rolodex, so he just brought back all his own guys because he didn't know anybody else. And, you know, they're very insular over there. They don't want to get out of their comfort zone. That's a problem that they've had ever since going back to the Belichick days. And when I say problem, I mean, you know, air quotes. It wasn't a huge problem with Bill until the end when his circle got smaller and smaller and smaller. No one was left, and he had no one to reach out to, and he didn't want to coach anybody. And it was just, you know, this thing where it's like, okay, well, seems like you hate everybody, Bill. It seems like everybody that you've brought in, all these decisions that you've made, guys that you've drafted, free agents that you've signed, et cetera, they're all letting you down. So, you know, why don't you just move on to the next thing? Because this is completely run aground. And it had. It absolutely had. His drafts were bad. The Mac Jones, Bailey Zappi experience was terrible. What really, I think, suffered the most in those last 2 years of Bill Belichick, maybe the last three even, was the idea that there was this almighty system and that the Patriots had this incredible system and they could plug anybody into the system and the system will win and they'll be able to win and be relevant and maybe not win the Super Bowl every year like they did with Tom Brady, but at the very least, they're not going to go down in the tank. They're not going to completely fall apart because they have this great system. And for 1 year with Mac Jones, and you can even say a little bit that year with Cam Newton, that wasn't a good year, but McDaniels got a lot out of Cam Newton, a lot more than anybody else was ever going to get. And he couldn't even throw the ball. Newton couldn't. So, like, you know, sorry, diarrhea of the mouth, I know, Cam. But you know what I mean? Like, it was pitiful watching him out there. And then Mac Jones comes in. They win 10 games with him. And it all seemed like, okay, maybe the system really, really works. Maybe the system really is all it's hyped up to be. And then Bill put that to the test like I've never seen before. He said, my system's so good that a couple defensive coordinators can run the offense. Mac Jones, we don't need to give him anything. We'll just, you know, plug on with all the guys that I want in the places that I want them. Devil may care if they're actually qualified for any of these jobs that I'm giving them. Devil may care if it's going to completely ruin this young quarterback who's actually shown a little bit of promise. Wasn't exactly, you know, Drake May in his first year or anything like that, but it looked like, you know, you had something there with Mac Jones. It looked like he could maybe lead this team somewhere. When you're starting off 10 wins in a playoff game, then yeah, you expect to go up from there, right? Don't you? And no, the system imploded. I mean, the system really collapsed on itself. And that was partially due to Belichick and his stubbornness. It was partially due to, I think, ownership not wanting to invest as much. And that's still a problem, and that's been a problem this whole time. It had a lot to do with Tom Brady not being here anymore, which is the age-old question about Bill and Brady, but I think that's been answered, you know, three or four times over now. But really, it was just kind of laying bare the fact that the system's only as good as the people in it and only as good as the guy in charge of it treats it. And he treated the system like it was just this almighty, anybody we put out there, they're going to go out there, they're going to win because our system's that good. And it turns out that was all BS. And it's still BS now. Now in UNC. And we all kind of know that too. But what we're seeing here is not with Mike Vrabel some big almighty system. Like, this is the Vrabel system, and you got to do this, and anybody can come in and play in the Vrabel system. That's not what we're seeing here. With Bill, it was all about the system. With Vrabel, it's all about the players. With Vrabel, the players are what's important. Like, there's a real emphasis on that, empowering the players, letting them kind of be themselves, showcasing certain guys, going to certain guys in certain situations, letting them speak their mind, letting them be themselves. There was no, you weren't allowed to do that with Bill. You had to fall in line. You had to be a cog in the system, and that's really all you were. You know, it didn't matter what you were getting paid or why. You'd get sat down if you weren't producing, and then the next guy was next man up, and that's the way it worked. Next man up still exists here to an extent, because if someone gets injured, then the next man's got to step up, and that's obviously something that you can say about every single team. But a big part of what next man up in the Belichick era was all about was if Stephen Ridley fumbles, Shane Vereen, you're the next man up, he's getting yanked out of the game. Someone commits two penalties in one drive, he's not going to be out there that next sequence. He's not going to be out there for a while. Wes Welker makes a foot joke about Rex Ryan. He's not going to play the whole first quarter. So the next man's got to step up. You got to be out there. There's only been one that we know of anyway, one disciplinary action taken by Mike Vrabel like that. And that was Barmore, right? Christian Barmore was benched for a quarter or a half, or I can't remember exactly what it was. But they both talked about it. They both addressed it. It wasn't like it was some top secret thing. And then afterwards, you saw them in the locker room, hugging each other, and it was all water under the bridge. What was It was one quarter. Okay, thank you. And I forget, who was it against? Do we remember? But that's it. I mean, that's the only time. That's the only time I can think of that there was anything really like that. And that was in the Cleveland game. So there you go. And listen, not to say that one way is right and one way is wrong, but it's different. I mean, it's very, very different. And the Mike Vrabel era, I think, has been defined largely by connecting with his players, not molding them into this cog in the system. It's okay, Steph Diggs, okay, Mac Hollins, okay, Milton Williams, okay, Christian Barmore, whoever it is, whoever you are, you know, we're introducing you one at a time. We're not just going to bring you out as one big group and say, this is the Patriots. No, no, no. The Patriots are Milton Williams, are Drake May, are Travion Henderson, are all Robert Spillane, everybody. You're all the Patriots, and we're going to identify you and showcase you individually. And that's something that just flies completely in the face of what Bill Belichick was all about. And it's working. And I just think that's interesting. I think that's an interesting, it's an interesting time to be following this team. There's still a lot of Belichick holdovers, obviously. You know, you don't believe me, just check on Twitter. Every time UNC comes close in a game or wins a game, the Belichick people are right back out there. They never really went away. They stopped talking for a while, but they haven't really gone away. They still exist.
Hibernation.
They've hibernated, I guess. And they get pulled out of their hibernation when something good happens for Bill, which hasn't happened very often lately, so I think that's probably the reason. 617.
We are all Patriots.
779-7937 is your phone number. We got about 5-10 minutes left to go here before kickoff, and so we're going to have a little gambling segment like we do on Sundays in the Football Sunday Show. We end that with Shime and I getting real degenerate. Shime's not here, so you just got me and my iffy picks. I'm just going to say whatever Ted Johnson said. Ted thinks it's going to be a two-score game. I think it's going to be a two-score game. Whatever you say, Ted, I'm tailing Ted. Otherwise, what, am I going to go with my own picks? What the hell do I know? Ted is killing it this year. Ted is 8-1 picking games this year. That's preposterous. And the rest of the guys on that show, ridiculous. We got Teddy the Greek over here. So maybe I'll just copy all his picks. But I have some prop bets as well before they all get banned. I'll have those for you right after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry Yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
I'm always frustrated when we're not able to help improve the team. Mm-hmm. It takes two. We made a lot of calls. We did a lot of work on that. And ultimately, we just didn't feel like, you know, giving up three ones for somebody was probably the right move at this time.
Elliot Wolf. Defending his inactivity at the trade deadline, it's the Christian Arcan Show here at WEEI. We will switch gears away from the Patriots because, you know, kickoff. I don't like that answer. I mean, I understand. He's talking about Myles Garrett, and they were making calls on Myles Garrett, and it cost multiple first-round picks, which is what it cost the Colts to get Sauce Gardner. If you're going to spend multiple first-round picks on somebody, Gardner or Myles Garrett, you do it for Myles Garrett. But I have a feeling that that was one of those type of trades where Cleveland wasn't going to do it unless it was just an offer they couldn't refuse, and no one made them an offer they couldn't refuse. And I'm fine with the Patriots not making them an offer they couldn't refuse on Myles Garrett. I honestly am. What I'm not okay with is hoarding 4 sixth-round picks, including two that you got from trading depth on your roster, trading that away, and not addressing any of the places where you're thin on your current roster right now. And don't tell me that there is not a single running back anywhere in the league that couldn't have been had for a sixth-round pick or multiple sixth-round picks or a sixth and a fourth or whatever it is that you would have to give up in order to get it, because you got a couple of fourth-round picks too and a couple of sevens. And I don't buy that. I'm sorry. I know. Yeah, it takes two to tango. Sure it does. But when there were teams coming around, sniffing around the Patriots with a sixth-round pick, and saying, hey, we need Keon White. Hey, let's do something here for... What did Jabril Peppers go for? Did he go for a sixth? I think he did. Or maybe there was something better than that. I don't know. But Duggar and White both went for sixes, okay? So don't tell me that there was no market. There was a market out there. And that you weren't looking to make some big grand slam. I wasn't looking for the Patriots to do that. I was looking for them to do something, though. And with depth being one of their only weaknesses, they don't have a lot of them. Depth is one of them. And that's the way you could have addressed your depth rather than holding on to 4 sixth-round picks, which I just don't see the point of that. We'll take a phone call here, and then I'll get to some picks that I like tonight. Jay is in North Carolina. Hello, Jay.
Hey, Chris. One of your pom-pom listeners here. Enjoy your show quite a bit.
Appreciate that. What's up?
I know that Jets are self-destructing, but they're a professional NFL team, and you never take any professional NFL team lightly. I don't know if the weather could be a factor tonight, but that we'll see what Mac Jones and Stephon Diggs can do.
Mac Jones, because, huh?
I mean, I'm sorry. Drake May.
You just gave me a nightmare. I was like, Mac Jones is back? No. Where'd you hear that, Jay?
Drake May. But anyways, I think the real difference in this game is going to be the coaching staff, which one is great and one sucks. But I'll leave you with this, Chris. The two, Pat and Mike, are walking by a cemetery. Pat says to Mike, that's a hell of a cough you got there, Mike. He said, yeah, Pat, and there ain't anybody in there wouldn't like to have it. And I think there ain't any NFL team wouldn't like to have Drake May. So I'll leave you with that.
All right. Thanks for the call, Jay. Appreciate it. Thanks for checking in. It's a good little story. I thought there was going to be like some weird joke. But it wasn't bad. All right. Here's what I think is going to happen tonight. I think the Patriots win this game. I don't think they win by 14.5 points. I think Hunter Henry will score a touchdown, which you can get at plus 155 for an anytime touchdown. I'd go over 38.5 yards for him as well. I just have a feeling it's going to be a Hunter Henry game. The number right now is 12.5. That's a tough one. It moved a little bit. It was 14.5, right? So it's been knocked down a couple points over the course of the last 3 days, I guess. Would have had to have been. Because when we did the steam chasing, I think we had it at 14. It was a 14 on Tuesday? Maybe not. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm totally bugging. But either way, I find that number to just be a little too big for me on a short week, a division game, a Jets defense that is not embarrassingly bad. Like, they're not. They've had some tough stretches here, and losing Williams and losing Gardner, obviously, that weakened them, and they've had to bump up some other players who maybe wouldn't have been getting those type of reps. But they do hang around. The Jets do hang around. They don't win a lot of games. They've won two in a row recently against the dregs of the AFC North. But they do hang around, even against the Broncos, you know, against good team, against Tampa Bay. Like, that's a good team. Patriots beat Tampa, so they got that. But the Jets didn't get annihilated by them. The Jets have only really been blown out a couple of times. They got blown out by Buffalo in week 2, 30-10, and they got blown out by the Cowboys, 37-22. And aside from that, every single other one of their losses has been a one-score game. And some of them have been like 3 points or less. 2-point loss to the Steelers. 2-point loss to the Bucks. A 2-point loss to the Broncos. 1-point win over the Bengals and a 1-point win over the Browns. But or a 1-score win over the Browns, I should say. But you see what I mean? Like, this is a team that keeps it close. This is a team that doesn't necessarily go out there, get their doors blown off on the road, at home, period. It just doesn't, it doesn't happen that much. Once in a while it does. And this may be one of those times. Again, you're talking about a team that blew up their defense at the trade deadline. But they've also won a couple of games since then. So, you know, you tell me. Justin Fields is not very good. But he has had some games where he looked like a competent, normal NFL quarterback. And is this going to be one of them? It's not like the Patriots get after the quarterback that much. It's not like their pass rush is so scary and so daunting. It's going to be tough for the Jets wide receivers to get open without Garrett Wilson out there, sure, no question about it. And that's a big, big blow to their offense. But is that enough? I mean, I don't know. We'll see. For those reasons, I'm going to go, I think I'm going to go with the Jets and the points, I think. Plus 12, that's a lot of points for a division game.
I found myself in my closet crying.
On a short week, it just is. I may end up regretting that. I probably will. But just, I don't know. I can't in good consciousness just say, oh, yeah, no problem. I love a Hunter Henry touchdown. I kind of like a Diggs touchdown, too. I could see a Steph Diggs touchdown happening here. He's become such a reliable weapon for Drake May. I do think there's going to be some added emphasis on him, and probably on Henry, too. And without Kayshon Booty, that's a smart strategy, I would say. I wonder how the Jets are going to go after Travion Henderson. I think that Henderson is someone that, while I really enjoyed what he gave you last week, I'm not counting on that to be a weekly thing. His numbers are one that probably got inflated a little bit over that. Here's another prop that I like, Breece Hall. His over-under for receptions is 2.5. I love that over. Because I don't think the Jets are going to realize pretty early on we can't really run the ball against this team. But what we can do is throw to the back and give him some space and see if maybe he can get going that way. I don't know if it's going to work for him or not, but I think it's really the only chance they have at running any kind of functional offense. Unless you want to, you know, who are these Jets wide receivers behind Garrett Wilson anyway? It's kind of the who's who of suck there, you know?
I know one of them is Alan Lazard, because Rodgers didn't take him along to Pittsburgh.
That's right. Alan Lazard, A.D. Mitchell, who's going to make his debut. Tyler Johnson, who I think was he on the Bucks? Was that the same Tyler Johnson that was on the Bucks with Tom Brady, I think? Isaiah Williams, who I don't even know who that is. And Arian Smith, who I think is a rookie this year. I don't know. Couldn't tell you. Oh, John Mechie, they got him in a trade. John Mechie, I remember at Alabama. I think he was at Alabama with Mac Jones, I want to say. And like Waddle and Judy and those guys. I think he was part of that group with those Alabama wide receivers. But it seems to me like the safest bet here is that the Jets are going to be just receptions. I'm not even talking about yards. They'll be throwing to their running back. And so I'd go heavy with Breece Hall in the receptions. I think there will at least be at least three. And that's where it's looking at right now. And there you go. There is your degenerate gambling hour. I like the Jets with the points. I like a Hunter Henry anytime touchdown. I kind of like a Steph Diggs anytime touchdown as well. Maybe some insurance there. Or if you want to parlay him. Hey, listen, it's your oyster. You do whatever you want. And I also like over on the 2.5.
And as you said, you were just borrowing Ted's bets.
That's true. Actually, no, I'm not, because Ted thinks they're going to win by more than 12. What did he say? He said, what the hell was the score he said? 24-10, I think. So that would cover the point. That would cover it for the Patriots. I'm a little bit more dubious, which means I'll be wrong and Ted will be right, because he's been right about every single pick he's made this year. But there you go. Thus concludes your Patriots and Jets pregame. We got 2 hours to go here on the Christian Arcan Show. If you feel like checking in over the course of next 2 hours, we will have some fun stuff for you. We will check in on the Patriots and also the Bruins, who are playing tonight as well. They're underway, and we'll have more on that as well. We'll also have all the fun stuff, the Arcan Fire, the nightly news, the other headlines, etc. That's all coming up in the 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock hours here on the Christian Arcan Show.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.